Tonight I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. 1 Kings, chapter 22, and we'll read a few verses from verse 41 down to the end of verse number 50. 1 Kings, chapter 22, and verse number 41. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhu, and he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. Those high places, by the way, were not idolatrous places. They were places where they had raised an altar in different parts of Israel, and the people were worshipping the true God in these high places. There are other places where they were worshipping idols, but these should have been taken down because the main focus of worship was in Jerusalem. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, but for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the remnant of the Salamites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. There was then no king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Then said Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, unto Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with thy servants in the ships," but Jehoshaphat would not. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And may the Lord bless to our hearts the short reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the word of the living God. And we thank Thee, our Father, that Thou hast not left us alone to muddle our way through earth to heaven, but Thou hast shown us and said, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And Father, we pray that Thou would bless each of Thy children and help us, Lord, to dedicate ourselves 100% to the service of our blessed Lord and our Savior. And Lord, especially do we think of our young people. We thank Thee for them. We thank Thee, O God, they are a gift of the grace of God to their respective families. And Father, we pray that they will seek to give the very best of their service to the Lord Jesus. And we know, Lord, that Thou will bless them for that. And so we ask Thee, come now and bless us as we turn to Thy word and speak by Thy power. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In just 18 days, the Winter Olympics will be beginning in Whistler, British Columbia. And after years and years of preparation, the time has come for the Games almost to begin. The preparation involved a major road realignment from Vancouver, 60 miles up to Whistler. And if my memory serves me correct, that road renovation is costing something like $600 million just for one part, and then of all the other things that they have to build the facilities for the Games. So excitement is building now as they're getting close to the start of the Winter Olympics. There's just one sort of a problem, and that is, where's the snow? Because they need a lot of snow, and right west they're having nice mild temperatures, and they're having some rain, but they're not having any snow. But they say snow problem, because they're already shipping in snow that they had stored somewhere up in the mountain to try and put a base down for the ski runs and so on. Now the young athletes have been training for years and years in their various disciplines. skiing across country and downhill and others. Then there's the luge. The luge, that's like going down a tube of ice on a tea tray, and you're going feet first at about 80 miles an hour, and then you're the skeleton. It's even worse. You might finish up like a skeleton because you're going down that tea tray thing, and you're going head first, and your chin's only 3 or 4 inches from the ice at 80 miles an hour. And there's the bobsled run and the hockey and so on, and the different nationalities of men and women. They all have a common goal right now, and that goal is go for the gold, because they've been training and they've been looking and they want to eventually win the gold medal for their particular discipline. Now, I've been reading recently in my own private reading in the books of 1st and 2nd Kings and now into Chronicles, and I was reading about King Jehoshaphat that we've read about here tonight in chapter 22 of this book. And in this chapter here, we discover that Jehoshaphat, he followed the example of his forebear, Solomon. Solomon built ships to go to Ophir for gold. He brought back a lot of gold from Ophir. And so Jehoshaphat, he decides near the end of his life to follow the same example and to send the ships to Ophir for gold. But Jehoshaphat had a very different result than that of Solomon. And so tonight, I want to speak especially to our young people. I want to speak to you and with the idea of doing what Solomon did and what Jehoshaphat did, and that is to go for the gold. And tonight I want to look at that and consider it, and I pray, young people, that you'll have in your heart this desire to go for the gold. Now we have, first of all, Jehoshaphat's great desire, and that was his legitimate objective to go and get gold for the province of Judah. Solomon succeeded in a tremendous way, so much so you read of him that he was able, he had so much gold that he got from Ophir and other places that silver was not even to be accounted of. It was as nothing. He had so much gold that he actually made 300 shields of pure gold. Now, I don't think the army soldiers would have gone out to battle with these gold shields. They're probably ceremonial shields. But he had that as an indication of how wealthy Israel was in the days of the golden reign of Solomon. But after Solomon died, the land divided into 2 10 tribes to the north and the two making up Judah to the south. And Jeroboam, who was a wicked, wicked man, took over the governorship of the northern kingdom. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, he became the king of the southern kingdom. And you discover how much the country had gone down, because you read in the early part of the life of Jeroboam that he discovered that the enemy came and took away the gold that was there in the days of Solomon. And now what does he do? He makes shields of brass. So you can see the difference from a golden position to shields of brass. The gold, of course, in the Bible speaks to us of deity and of divinity. Brass speaks to us of judgment. And so you're looking here at a tremendous decline in the status of the province of Judah under Rehoboam. Now, when Jehoshaphat became king, he decided he was going to go for the gold. He wanted to restore the kingdom to something like it was in the days of Solomon. So he built ships. Now, according to the Hebrew, it seems that he built 10 ships. Now, these were major ships able to go on the sea, not just along the coast, but into the sea. And he built these 10 ships at Ezion Geber. Now, that's at the top of the Gulf of Aqaba today, known as the city of Eilat. And so he built the ships there. And this was a major undertaking. Much preparation to get the wood and all the work to build these ships, and much cost as well building these 10 ships. Now the people who are now studying and preparing for the Olympics, they want eventually to have a golden medal hung round their neck. And in order to get that, they're willing to dedicate themselves to that task for not just a few months, but for years. They're willing to go through the necessary preparation to get their skills to the highest level, and they're also willing to bear the cost that it will be in family terms and monetary terms and so on. They're willing to bear the cost that they might get that golden medal. They're going for the gold. But then the Christian is slightly different. Because while some Christians will be in the Olympics, and some of them may get the golden medal, for the Christian, we're not looking so much for a medal of gold to be hung round our necks. We're looking for a crown of gold that will go onto our heads. And that's what the Lord is speaking about in the Bible. And the young people, I do pray that that will be the desire and the dedication of your life to go for the gold. Because God speaks to us about the crown that the believer receives. We're told in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 9 and 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, the athletes, they have to restrict themselves in certain things that they do in order to win. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, like the gold medal, or the silver medal, or the bronze medal. They're doing it for a corruptible crown, but Paul says, we an incorruptible. So while the medal that the Olympian may win, and there's not too much gold in it, because if it was gold, it would be worth thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars when you consider that gold is almost $1,000 an ounce at the minute. They would get this medal, and that medal will not last forever. But the crown that God has for his people is something that is incorruptible. It will never corrupt. And then not only that, but it's a righteous crown, because in 2 Timothy 4 and 8, Paul said to young Timothy, there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, sometimes in the Olympic Games, you'll have a battle, as we had in the last one, as I remember, where there was some cheating going on, and somebody was given a medal, a gold medal, that didn't really deserve it, and the person who was second should have had it, and so there was a whole rumpus over that, because, well, in the case of games, righteousness is not always the work of the thing that is to the forefront. This crown that the Lord has for his people is a crown of righteousness given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, and he'll give it to us at that day when he comes back, and also to all them that love his appearing. Then that crown is also not only incorruptible and righteous, but it is a crown of life. Because James tells us in 1 and 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Now what the Olympian gets is a gold medal that goes round his neck, and there's no life in it at all, there's no life there whatever. But for the child of God, the crown that God gives to us is incorruptible, it is a righteous crown, and it's also a crown of life. And that is speaking, of course, of everlasting life. And what better should we be directing our minds towards than knowing the blessing of everlasting life? That crown also is a glorious crown, because in 1 Peter 5 and 4, it tells us when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's the Lord Jesus, when he shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so what a tremendous blessing it would be to get that crown as opposed to even getting an Olympic medal. Here's a crown that is a crown of glory, the glory of God and the glory of the recipient of that crown. Then Revelation 4 and 4 tells us and speaks about crowns of gold. Revelation 4 and 4, they, that's the 24 elders, had on their heads crowns of gold. So young people, here is what the Lord has for His people who are dedicated to Him to serve Him. Crowns that are both incorruptible and righteous, and a crown of life, and a crown that is glorious, and a crown that is golden. And as we come to the conclusion of our service tonight, we'll be singing that hymn, I Shall Wear a Golden Crown When I Get Home. But we need to remind ourselves that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And young people, and especially young people, but everybody, I want to remind you again that we need to make sure that in our lives we are dedicated to the Lord to go for the gold and to seek the very best that God the Lord has for us. And I trust that every one of the young people will take that upon their hearts. And so Jehoshaphat's great desire was to go for the gold. But then you come to Jehoshaphat's great disaster, and that is, he didn't get the gold. Because we read here that the ships that he built, they were broken at Ezion-Geber, and so he didn't get the gold. Now Jehoshaphat was a good man. He was a good king. You read through Kings, as I've been doing recently, and you see the list of the kings, and generally the kings in Israel were wicked, evil men, after the line of Ahab and Jeroboam, wicked sinners. But in another case in Judah, you'll find while some of the kings were wicked men, there's a number of eminent godly men. King Asa was one of those godly kings, and his son was Jehoshaphat. So Jehoshaphat was brought up in a good home, a godly home, and at 35 he became the king of Judah and reigned for 25 years in Jerusalem. A good king. And on one occasion, the enemy surrounded him. Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, they came around and they threatened. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He went to the Lord. And he came and he spread the matter before the Lord. And he says, Lord, we have no might against this great company that's come against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are towards the Lord. And so Jehoshaphat did that which was right. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles 20. He came and he spread the thing before the Lord. And the Lord gave them a marvelous victory. A strange victory, because he told them to appoint singers. Now you'd think he'd say, appoint them to get their army out there and their shields and their swords and all their equipment and sally forth into battle. He didn't say that. He says, get a choir together. And they sang. What a way to fight a battle. And as they sang, we're told that the Lord set ambushments against the enemy, and the enemy was routed and defeated. And Israel found much spoil. So that was one of the incidents in the case of the life of this godly king, Jehoshaphat. But he didn't get the gold. Because it tells us here in verse 48 of the chapter we read, Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Now, earlier on you read about Solomon doing the same thing, and he came back and he had the gold. But Jehoshaphat didn't get the gold. And so he said, well, why? What happened? Why did he fail? Why did he not get the gold there that was available to him? And the answer is given very clearly in the book of Chronicles, the 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 35. And it says, after this, did Jehoshaphat king of Judah join himself with Ahaziah, the king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion-Gibor. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Marashah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. So why did Jehoshaphat not get the gold? Because of serious compromise, he made a serious mistake in making an alliance with Ahaziah, the wicked king of Israel. And young people, as you seek to find the gold from the Lord, you will not get it if you follow the pathway of Jehoshaphat and you compromise and you get away from the way the Lord would have you go. And this cost Jehoshaphat dearly, not just the lost gold. But earlier Jehoshaphat had made an alliance with that most wicked of men, Ahab. And you read of Ahab, and he spent his whole life in working wickedness. And here's the godly king Jehoshaphat, who comes and joins alliance with him, and they go forth to battle against the Syrians. Micaiah the prophet had warned Ahab that he was going to die in the battle. So Ahab decided to disguise himself. He took off his kingly robes, disguised himself, so that he wouldn't be seen and recognized by the Syrian enemy. And Jehoshaphat, he went into battle on his horse, wearing his kingly robes. And the Syrians saw him, and they thought it was Ahab. And they went after him. And Jehoshaphat had to cry out that he wasn't Ahab. And the Bible tells us the Lord delivered Jehoshaphat out of their hands. And then it was that a man sent an arrow that went between the joints of the harness of Ahab. And despite the fact that he was hidden and disguised, God got him. Be sure your sin will find you out. But Jehoshaphat made an alliance with him, and we're told that the prophet came to Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. So Jehoshaphat made a serious mistake, almost cost him his life. And God's word came to him and warned him, you shouldn't have done it, because now you've reaped the wrath of God because of your compromise with Ahab. But you would think that Jehoshaphat would have learned the lesson. But he went back and did the same sin over again. Because Ahab's dead and now he's replaced by Ahaziah. And he is a wicked man. And so once more, Jehoshaphat joins himself up with the enemy. And God has to send another prophet, Eliezer, to him. Who says, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. So Jehoshaphat lost the gold because he failed to learn the lesson that God had given to him, and how sad. Now, practically, what are the lessons that we can learn? First of all, you need to have in the service of the Lord, young people, dedication, absolute dedication to the service of the Lord Jesus. I think of Toronto sometimes, and I enjoy this city. I like this city. It's been my home for this last 30-odd years. And I think that did you ever see a city that had such a bunch of losers as Toronto has? Toronto Maple Leafs, I remember the last time they won the Stanley Cup. That's way back in 1967. I was here at the time. They haven't shown any sign of winning it again. Then we have the Raptors, and they can't get into the playoffs. And then we have the Blue Jays, and They're no better. And then we have the Argonauts. Well, the less said about the Argonauts, the better. We have a bunch of losers in this place here. Now, in all of those four teams and those four franchises, I'm sure that there are some of those athletes who are dedicated to winning the top award in their particular sport. But then there's others who are what you'd call, you have a coach and then you have a bunch of wagons coming along behind, and they don't do very much. And they don't give of their best. And so there's no surprise that they don't win anything, because you have people who are not giving of their very best. But my friend, in the service of the Lord Jesus, God expects you to give of your very best to the Master, because he gave of his very best for you on the cross of Calvary. And he did it because he loves you. He came down to the scene of time to die for your sins, that you might be spared from the flames of hell that we were studying this morning in the Bible class, and you need to think about that seriously. But the Lord, He wants us to dedicate ourselves unreservedly to him. You have some wonderful examples in the Bible. You take Caleb. In the Bible, you discover that Caleb is one of the spies that went out before they were going into the promised land. And Caleb, he came and he brought a good word. He was at Kadesh. And in Numbers 13:30, he said to the people, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." So the other spies, apart from Joshua, they didn't want to go in. But in the case of Caleb, he did, because you get the answer in Joshua 14:14, that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And young people, if you want to have the best in life, you've got to wholly follow the Lord as Caleb did. Then again, you have the apostle, you have Joshua, and you have Hezekiah. In the Second Chronicles regarding Hezekiah, it tells us there that in every work, that he was the godly king of Judah, followed after Jehoshaphat sometime, and he did take down the high places and so on, and there was revival under Hezekiah. But regarding him, it says, in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and he prospered. And young people, if you want to prosper, you've got to prosper by giving yourself unreservedly to the service of the Lord. If you give half-hearted service, I don't think you're going to see the maximum blessing from the Lord upon your life. So Hezekiah was another one. There are biblical exhortations. Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Pressing forward, desirous to go through with God. And again, he gave instructions to the Corinthians. He says, "So run that ye may obtain." And young people, as you run the race of faith, the Lord is telling us, do it with the desire to win and to get the crown. And again, in Hebrews chapter 12, let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so young people this evening, as we come to the eve of the Olympic Games, I would say to you, in a much higher plane, go for the gold. And if you remember nothing, keep that in mind. Go for the gold. Give your heart and your soul to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you from personal experience, you will not be sorry. I'm not going to bore you with my own personal testimony. We look back over how the Lord has led us these last years, and we have to rejoice greatly that God is no man's debtor, and that he blesses and he caused us to rejoice in him. But if you do like Jehoshaphat and you compromise and you fall away from the following the Lord the way you should, then you're not going to get the gold. These ships of his were destroyed at Ezion Geber. There's a wind that comes down from the land, down that Gulf of Aqaba. May have been that the ships were blown to pieces there. May have been severe storms in the water, or it may even have been sabotage. But the ships were destroyed, and he didn't get the gold. Young people, make sure you get the gold and labor in your life. To be able to say with Paul at the end, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then, not only labor towards that end, but have in your heart the desire to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And young people, do not allow the devil to steal away your crown. Oh, the devil will do all in his power to try and get you into bypass meadow, get you away from the Lord. He'll do all those things to try and get you not to follow him, and he'll try to steal your crown. But I hope it will take the same dedication of Joshua, who said, as for me and my house, no matter what other people do, we will serve the Lord. You know, what a sad last word there is for Jehoshaphat. You can read some of his life story in Kings. You can read the rest of it in the book of Chronicles. The high points and the low points. He was a good man, many ways, lived a good life. But he missed the gold. And the sad thing is that the last word that you hear about Jehoshaphat before he died was this matter of the ships going for the gold and the gold being the ships being destroyed and the gold not being achieved. So then it says he died. That was his epitaph. A good man. But he missed the gold. And we have young people here and older people, good men, good women. Make sure that that's not your epitaph, that you got near, but you missed the gold. I trust that every one of us will be able to sing from hearts redeemed by precious blood, I shall wear a golden crown when I get home. Young people, especially in your life, go for the gold. Follow the Lord Jesus. Seek the best that he has for you. And you'll never, ever be sorry. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for the wonderful future thou hast given to the child of God. But Lord, we know that we face a wily devil, an enemy in Satan, who would love to see our young people not attain to that which thou hast for them. Our Father, we pray that they may determine their hearts they're going to go for the gold and, like Solomon, come back rejoicing with great spoil because the Lord had answered and blessed them. And Father, we pray that unlike Jehoshaphat, they will not be in a situation where they lose out and don't get the gold. Oh God, bless our young people. Put a circle of the blood round about them. And Father, we pray that thou would give them in their heart that overwhelming desire of Joshua of old. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hear us our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.